Hey, welcome back to What in the World, a podcast wherein we talk about all things esoteric. We are in the middle of a pandemic and some civil unrest. So today's show should be interesting. I have with me Lisa Friss and Dave Burke.
Hello.
Join me
Hello.
for these things. I want to start off by just saying flat out, I had a black helicopter this morning, and so I'm a little weirded out in general.
No, apologies if there's a helicopter coming in and out, but they've decided to hover over my house for the last 2 hours.
You must be
Which
near one
looks
of the
lovely.
protests.
We're near a few of them, yeah. But I don't know where it's happening today. This one seems like it's off to the south a little bit.
Yeah, I know there was one in Hollywood, but that's all I know. Okay.
Yay.
Anyway, so what do we want to
Black
at
helicopters.
today? So
Pandemics.
the
Civil
black
unrest.
helicopter was really interesting because, one of my, I know the women who own the Integratron out in Landers, California, which is, for people who don't know, the largest all wooden, acoustically perfect dome in the Western Hemisphere, I think. But they do sound baths out there and that kind of stuff. And a number of years ago, they apparently had Drinval Melchizedek out there teaching one of his workshops. And he talks about this in his book, but he doesn't say where it is. I heard about it from the Integratron's point of view. That they were doing a group Merkaba exercise and the black helicopter showed up and like hovered for a while and then left. And Drew talks about it in one of his books, but I didn't realize that it was in the Integratron until Joanne was like, oh yeah, no, she's telling me this story. I'm like, okay. So anyway, I was doing a meditation today. I do a meditation on Tuesdays with a group of people, and we were doing something that I wouldn't necessarily term a Merkaba meditation. But it did involve working with the energy field and expanding it and contracting it. And literally, as that was ending, I started hearing a very loud helicopter. And I went and I looked out the kitchen window, and there was a helicopter. And I figured, oh, there's a protest going on over at CSUN or something like that, the local university. And my husband came out and he said, there are no markings on that helicopter at all. I'm like, really? I saw white. He said, nope. And so I went out and took pictures, and there are absolutely no markings on that helicopter. It is all black. It has one of the police cameras on it, but it's not a police helicopter. It left after about 10, 15 minutes and was replaced by a National Guard helicopter and then subsequently a police helicopter. But yeah. I've never had one of those before. I'm not sure if I'm impressed or not. But
Right.
yeah.
You are that powerful.
And occasionally stuff happens, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to be that special. You know?
So bringing that up actually kind of triggers something for me. So the beginning of this year started off a whole slew of really seemingly significant events as far as ufology goes. And now all of a sudden, of course, with everything going on, that is pushed way off to the side because of what's going on now. So I'm just kind of wondering, and I'm not saying the two are connected or anything like that, but it makes me wonder, is there some sort of connection, even if it's just really esoteric, or is this a situation to be taken advantage of by somebody?
Well, I think everything's always a situation that's to be taken advantage of by somebody.
Sure.
You know, I'm not the hugest fan of conspiracy theories, whatever the hell that means these days. And yet, sometimes we have actual conspiracies going on. So, and I mean, there's something to be said about like wagging the dog. You know, you come up with one story to overshadow the next story to overshadow the next story to overshadow the next story. So, yeah. You know, this is a really interesting situation right now. I mean, I talked at the beginning of the year about how this year was going to be transformational and that it sets up a pattern for the next X number of years. And everything's happening a lot faster than I thought it would, which is fascinating. Mm-hmm. In a not necessarily exciting sort of way, or at least a positive sort of way. But you know, we're going through some expansion pains right now. And regardless of what happened at the beginning of the year, I really think that all of this was kicked off by COVID. And the reason that COVID came right on the heels of some of the interesting sightings and what have you is because there's some alien energy to the coronavirus, to this particular one. Hmm. It has a sentience that I haven't seen in a lot of other virus. In fact, I think the last one I saw something like this in would be HIV, where it really has a sentience and it mutates around and it dances. They're going to have a hell of a time coming up with immunizations for us, you know, if that's even possible, because it's taken the base of a coronavirus, which is essentially the common cold, which always mutates and we can't immunize against it, and it started from there. And it's like something is sweeping through the energy of the planet. And part of the energy of it is that it is literally here to force us to do things differently and to look at things differently, which opens us up for more obvious sightings, for more interesting space news in general. I don't know if you've noticed, you probably have because you're interested in this sort of thing. You know, in the last 2-3 months since you know, COVID got frightening here in the US, there's been a lot of really fucking interesting space news that has decided to happen. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that it all goes together. You know, if we can start to look at things differently, if we change our mindset and we change our paradigm enough, people aren't going to be able to poo-poo when stuff happens. And I think we are moving out of a space of illusion. I think that's what a lot of these protests are about, is that, you know, we finally got to the point where people who weren't subject to it are realizing that, you know, the policing force in this country was set up to control slaves. You know, and so we're starting to actually have that dialogue. The illusion has fallen away about that, you know, and the illusion is falling away about the environment, and the illusion is falling away about all sorts of things. And I think a lot of that can be credited to this coronavirus shaking things up. So I don't know if that quite answers your question.
Sorry. I mean, it's such. I mean, I left it really nebulous, kind of.
Yes, you did.
but you know, it's an interesting thing that you bring up the coronavirus and COVID-19. And spoiler alert, right now, but it's a 120-year-old story. So read a book. It's really ironic that, you know, you bring up the origins of this being rooted in the common cold. So in an ironic way, this is really kind of the reverse, or maybe a development of the War of the Worlds kind of storyline. Mm-hmm. Where we had an invader, and again, here's the spoiler, so turn it off for about 30 seconds or whatever if you really haven't read a 120-year-old story or seen the Tom Cruise movie or whatever, but the aliens that come get done in by the common cold because they have no immunity. And now we're running around without an immunity and very little prospect of being able to develop it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The alien energy is riding in on this and it has become part of it. And it's going to keep mutating. They're going to have less chance of immunizing against this than they do like successfully with the flu every year.
Right. And so is there any relation to this and all the wonderful, lovely ice that's melting at the poles? Because, you know, they're talking about storage of viruses and bacterium that have been dormant for how long, and all of a sudden we're working really hard on letting those buggers free. And this
interestingly, I don't think that this COVID-19 is specifically one of those viruses, but it opens
right
up. It is sort of the prelude to, we're going to be chasing viruses for a really long time. That's part of the next chapter of this planet, is we are going to be chasing viruses. You know, wearing masks in public is going to be a thing for a really long time. I just bought a bunch of really cool ones because I was like, all right, fine. It's a fashion accessory.
I'm still waiting for someone to make me a Winter Soldier one. I really want one.
Nice. There is something to it of being a warning for what global warming is going to bring us.
Yeah.
And but this very definitely has an alien energy to it, like riding it essentially. Like an alien energy has decided to skin ride a virus, you know, so essentially it's possessed a virus. And, you know, alien to me is always a fun word because, you know, angels, aliens, and gods, it's all sort of the same energy depending on how you're coming at it. You know, and folks in the New Age community have been saying for years, you know, like the planet is surrounded by angels and they really want us to do stuff. And if we don't, they might poke us a little bit. Well, here's a big poke. You know, when I look at it from an ET point of view, it looks like it's coming from the direction of Andromeda. And I don't even know like where on the sky map that is necessarily. That's just, you know, what I'm getting. Dave points up. Thank you. But that's sort of what it looks like, and it's got sort of a blue light energy, which if we're talking about angelic stuff, I'm going to associate a little bit, at least with Archangel Mikhail, which is fascinating because he's, you know, ascribed to be the guardian angel of humanity. And the guardian angel of humanity is all of a sudden bringing in a virus that may very well wipe out like an eighth of the population on the planet. It's fascinating until it shows up in your house, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was saying yesterday to my husband that I'm not really thrilled to be living through history right now. You know, it's a little bit much. And on the other hand, I don't know anyone who's ever been seriously excited to be living through history while they're living through it. You know, because, I mean, you have the occasional awesome thing, you know, I mean, SpaceX, you know, sent off a thing docked with space station. Okay, great. So that's an awesome thing. And we have all this disaster going on. You know, you look at 1968, 1969, which was the last time we had unrest of this size. You know, and yeah, there was some cool stuff going on and there was some horrific stuff going on. Anytime that you're living through history, it's all dramatic, whether it's good or it's bad. You know, there's no like mundane. Yeah, and we are not living in mundane times right now.
May you live in interesting times.
Yeah, I've never liked that curse.
right? And here, and yet here we are.
Yes. Yeah. And if anybody tells me they're bored, I'm seriously going to poke them with a stick.
Oh, my brother called me today to tell me he was bored.
Really? Oh my god.
Well, he worked on the oil field, so that kind of evaporated. So there's, you know. So.
Yeah, and we're going to be moving more and more away from fossil fuels, coal, all of that stuff. It's not sustainable when you can't have people working the fields. Solar, on the other hand, air, wind, on the other hand, these are sustainable.
It's interesting. This brought about initiatives just in a very basic 3D sense at my work that we've been trying to shift and put into place. And, you know, we were forced to do it. So now all of a sudden, turns out you can do it, and you can do it like in a couple of days. You know? So that part's been interesting. But,
you know, as somebody who's partially disabled, you know, half of me is like, oh, look, the world actually can, you know, make it so that it's easy for me to live my life. Surprise. You know, and the other half of me is like, everybody who's complaining about, oh, well, I can't do this and I can't do that, I'm like, welcome to my life. You know, hopefully you will in the future have some compassion for people who need accommodations.
Right. You know? I don't know. Compassion seems to be in short supply. At some
well,
point we can
I don't
shift
know.
The conversation.
A lot of the country is moving towards a place of compassion. You know, they're kind of being forced in that direction. But, you know, the social dialogue right now is kind of forcing people to figure out, like, you know, do I want to be in compassion or do I want to obviously be not in compassion? You know, yeah. It's drawing some clear lines in the sand.
Certainly lines in the sand, for sure. It's interesting to get to the point. I don't know. It's something I can't even come up with the words. The not going political, but I mean, there is such a political element in everything that we're seeing. And there's such a, you know, the answer is love. The answer is always going to be love. But boy, it's hard to get there when people are screaming in your face and locked in the trenches. This one girl struggle.
Well, I mean, I don't know how to separate anything from politics right now because the politics in the United States is so loud that it literally permeates everything. You know, I had a roommate in college who was one of those people who didn't want to know about politics. And like when the stock market crashed in 87, I want to say it's 87, you know, and I tried to talk to her about it. She's like, I don't want to talk about politics. I'm like, this is finances. This is not necessarily politics. But I have no idea how she's surviving right now because everything is political.
Everything
is political. Like our health is political.
Right?
And not even our healthcare. No, just our health is political. It's impossible for anything, as far as I can tell, to not be political right now. You know, it's really fascinating in some of the, like, you know, communities and support groups and whatever that I see that try very hard to hold a space of neutrality about anything that isn't specifically about the thing that they are gathering for. And they're having a real hard time keeping any of that out of those spaces because everything's political.
Yeah.
You know, and I would argue, you know, I studied politics. I think everything has always been political, but yeah, everything is really overtly political now.
But decorum decreed that you didn't talk about it. Now it's so
can't avoid
face,
it,
right?
Can't avoid it. You know, and that's part of the growing pains of moving through this paradigm shift is that we are everything that we need to talk about and we need to look at and we need to investigate changing is getting really loud because we are being forced to look at it. You know, the fact that we have a president who is loud and vocal means we are forced to look at some of that. You know, we're forced to look at the political system in an entirely different way than we were before. You know, it used to be, you know, my roommate, you could ignore stuff. I don't think that you can ignore stuff right now. You can be in acceptance of it, and that's a little weird, but yeah. But I don't think that there's, that we can ignore that. The voices coming out of Washington right now are so loud and so strident and so, what's the word I want?
Not compassionate?
Well, I was just going to go with like through a bullhorn, you know? I mean, Twitter is essentially a bullhorn. You know, it's where all the angry people hang out. And it's just people broadcasting their opinions and news links and stuff like that. And sometimes that's helpful and sometimes it's really not. But it's like everybody on Twitter is like the town crier. And when the president becomes the town crier, that's a little weird, possibly bizarre.
Yeah.
And it's part of the paradigm shift. Again, you know, we have to be able to look at this stuff. So... so yeah, this may be like a 2-episode discussion, but there's a lot. Is there anything like in the news that I might've missed or anything like that about sites or anything that kind of dovetails into this at all? I know I'm not.
Anything in the news that's not this,
right? Well, I mean, you know, I keep seeing like interesting things about black holes and interesting things about space phenomena and interesting things about archaeological digs and stuff like that. None of it's in my head right now, but I keep seeing stuff coming up.
And the Department of Defense admitting they didn't know what the Tic Tac UFO, et cetera, was. So yeah. I mean, that they were unexplained. Aerial phenomenon. That's the way we're going these days. So that was pretty huge, and that just slipped by the radar.
Well, again, wagging the dog.
Yeah.
So I did see something interesting today. That's all right. I did see something interesting today, and it's not something that's immediate because it's not going to happen for 50-60 million years. But the apparently, Mars is going to regain a ring, if you had not heard that.
I have not heard that. That's fascinating.
So apparently, Mars has two primary moons, Deimos and Phobos. Apparently, Deimos is on this kind of weird orbit, and they hadn't really been able to figure out why, but the real news is surrounding Phobos, where they think Phobos is actually kind of degenerating in its orbit right now. And eventually it's going to reach a point where it can't stand the stress of being that close to Mars. And it's just going to compact and break apart and start forming a new ring.
Cool.
And apparently there used to be rings there, and it just, I mean, well, we've never seen it and we haven't even heard of it.
And if you get into the ancient astronaut theory, et cetera, about all the crystalline structure supposedly still apparent on Mars, Mike Barra, that was his thing for a while. So,
Well, half the surface of Mars is missing. And there's a very big just kind of ridge that runs around almost literally half the planet where your elevation completely changes. And they think people have likened it to really like the peel of an orange being taken off that half of the planet.
Yeah. The image I get when you're talking about it is like somebody went through with a scraper.
Yeah. Yeah. And it may have been a comet impact. It may have been, you know, of course there's theories about it not being a natural phenomena, but yeah. And the apparently the rock there's the claim that the rock formations on the lower elevations look a lot newer than the higher elevations, mm-hmm. and that would correspond to that surface being newer.
Sure.
Ooh, homework! I love it. Thank you.
Sure.
Fascinating. I can use diversions.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, Mars is definitely one of the places that went through, you know, sort of a time bubble to colonize here, first coming through during Atlantis. And the whole point was that they had destroyed their atmosphere, and it hadn't occurred to me that they had perhaps also destroyed some of their soil. And so it's possible that they destroyed their soil. It's possible that they were actually looking to remove evidence of some of the destruction that they wrought, because at some point this civilization here would be looking over there. Yeah. Mars is tricky that way. They like to hide. I mean, they like to hide in plain sight, but they like to hide.
It is the god of war, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But it's 50 or 60 million years off. We don't need that right now. No.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about it the other day. I'm like, why does Saturn have rings and the other planets don't? You know, it's its own thing. Well, and we have sort of that Kepler ring thing that nobody ever really seems to talk about, but I've never seen it be visible from space.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also, I mean, there's also just the asteroid belt outside of Mars, which has been taken into a huge actual, like, plot point given in a certain science fiction series, which I think is awesome. And, so other interesting stellar news, if nobody knew about it, you're going to be apparently drowning in comet dust soon. There was it was Atlas? Wait, where's my notes? So there are two comets. Actually, there were three, but they're primarily concerned with two. Atlas has already broken up in our solar system, and apparently it was close enough that we are likely to pass through its debris field.
Okay.
There's another one called Swan, which they're worried that it will break up. Swan is actually visible in the sky right now.
Yeah, this is sounding familiar.
Yeah, and so it's going to take a little lap around the sun and come back around a little bit, apparently, and or its path is just going to cross that way, or probably more accurately, we're going to swing into its path. But there is concern that Swan is ready to break up as well. And so those two may actually be dense enough and leave enough debris that we're going to see what they're calling... we've all heard of meteor showers, right?
Right.
Today I was reading the term meteor hurricane. Ooh. Yeah. And also they're saying that the dust and debris left from these two combined could be enough to actually alter our climate again and cool us off even more.
Well,
so
that could be a fascinating thing. The fatalist in me goes, well, sure, we haven't had any overt dangers from space yet this year. Why not?
Yeah, sure, why not?
We got locust check, plague check.
Right.
We've already had fire check.
Yep. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. I'm following that sort of line on the potential forecast, forward history, whatever you want to call it, pathway. That is an interesting thing. it's going to be another one of those things that if it happens, it's going to make us very much have to change how we do things. It doesn't look it's going to be a humanoid extinction event, but it's certainly going to mess with a lot of stuff. You know, we're tool using monkeys, so we'll figure it out, but I don't know what we're going to eat.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an interesting thing because, I mean, with the earlier talk about the political situation and not being able to ignore that at this point, which is going to bring about change, however you want to term it and allow it to affect you. If this were to happen, this is another thing that it takes away the whole thrust of the argument that climate change is driven by man-made sources, because it's not going to matter.
Right.
It's like, this thing happened, and now we don't even have to argue about why it happened, but we know it's definitely happening. And so there's no denying that it's going on at that point.
So yeah, can we stop arguing about who's to blame and maybe start talking about what to do about it? Well, yeah, and again, this whole, pandemic thing gave us the opportunity to see we can actually change our lifestyles in order to, start to create climatic change. So, but yeah, everything that's going to happen this year and possibly the next few years is going to be on the level of don't really have a choice, deal with it. Humanity is going to be dealing with a lot of really interesting perceived powerlessness. I mean, there's a gift in all of it, and it all is very exciting. And our culture does not like feeling powerless. And especially like the folks that are in power these days really don't like feeling powerless. And so that dying voice of the last vestige of that aspect of civilization, and they get even louder. Horrific to think about, but but yeah, I mean, fear makes people do weird stuff. Fear makes people tear gas a crowd because, yeah, anyway, I don't know if any of you read the article in the Atlantic. So when people are scared of stuff, they act violently. Guess what? There's, going to be a rise in violence, not in the way that it's previously been here, but in some very overt ways, so that we get to have the opportunity to stand up and say, yeah, no more.
Well, fear is the great divider, and it's definitely the weapon being used on us at the moment.
Well, and fear is the illusion of the absence of the divine. So, the solution to that, you said love, and essentially, the divine is love. So, if we can hook into that energy and re-empower ourselves, then none of this really matters, and we get to move through it a lot more gracefully. But we're going to have to move through it whether we want to or not. That choice has been removed. So, and with that, I'm going to wrap up this episode. This has been Ayamanatara, Lisa Fritz, Dave Burke. Thank you for joining us for another episode of What in the World?